So as the great Kadampa Master Sutapasa said, yeah, that all sentient beings by nature have the Buddha lineage. Yeah. So what they are saying is that, you know, all sentient beings, you know, from time without beginning, you know, since sentient beings were in existence, sentient beings have in them, you know, this Buddha lineage, or what we call the Buddha nature. So all sentient beings, you know, have always had this potential in them, you know, naturally, you know, this natural potential to become enlightened, to become Buddha. Having said that, if sentient beings, however, if they do not possess the developmental lineage, then they will not be able to achieve a full enlightenment. The developmental lineage. I think so, yeah. Really?
So
So, although all of us, all sentient beings, always have this Buddha nature within us since time immemorial, but if we need to, from outside, to put in effort, you know, and strive before we can achieve any result, such as even attaining a good rebirth as a human being or as a celestial being. Yeah. Okay, we have the potential to achieve enlightenment within us by nature. Yeah, it's there. But if we don't put in effort, then we will not achieve enlightenment. But of course, enlightenment is made possible because we have the potential there. Yeah? Because if the potential is not there in the first place, then no matter what we do, you know, then it's kind of a waste of time.
Yeah?
Just as all of us have the potential to become fully enlightened, we have the Buddha nature within us. Likewise, all of us have the potential, the ability to actually learn and understand the Buddha's teachings. Yeah. Okay. So, having said that, you know, however much, you know, we can get out from our studies and our learning depends on our individual effort. So when it comes to getting an education in the Buddhist teachings and learning and studying about the Buddhist teachings, individual effort, individual interest and effort is very important.
Yeah.
So the Kadamba masters gave the analogy of churning milk to get butter. Yeah. So although milk is the cause of butter, but if you do not churn the milk, you're not going to get any butter. Yeah. Yeah, butter is not going to, you know, come from his own side.
You want butter? Huh? Butter. Butter, tanda nyumbu tiri. Ta kala jabu nes, ta tanda nyumbu lapsi nyumbu tiri. So, kala jabu ina, so so la rang chie su, ane chie ko, manza kazan lori la sheba na shingri, sa shingri ba, sa di sheba si, kange gila yodya wa si, ko, lo sabi cha ji rang gila yodya wa si. Ta kala jabu ina, to shen yi nubba di rang yodya wa si.
So the point I'm trying to make is that we have to put in effort from our own side. We have the potential to learn, to study, to learn. But what we need to do is to put in effort. So if you remember what was, if you remember the definition of consciousness from the previous module, that which is clear and knowing. So it is a naturally occurring thing. We all have it, you know, this potential of the mind, that which is clear and knowing. And the mind's ability to learn is there. Yeah. We just have to activate it, yeah.
Okay, please activate it. Okay. Huh?
Okay. Okay, so now is the opening ceremony of the text. Okay, so the text starts with, I pay homage to the eminent holy beings who are in essence inseparable from Guru Protector Manjushri. Okay. So here in explaining the presentation of tenets, there are three outlines. The definition, divisions, and the meaning of each division. Okay. So the first, under definition, so there is the definition of a person who propounds Buddhist tenets. Yeah. Such a person is one who propounds tenets. Such a person who propounds tenets is one who accepts the three jewels to be the final objects of refuge, and who does not assert any objects of refuge other than them. And as for the divisions, so there are four divisions of the proponents of Buddhist tenets. Yeah. So they are the proponents of the Great Exposition, the proponents of Sutra, the proponents of Mind Only, and the proponents of the Middle Way. And the first two are also called the two schools that propound objects. Yeah. Then, as for the meaning of each division, and there will be an explanation of these four schools. Yeah. I need volume 1, the prayer book, because I don't remember the quotations from by heart. So, if you remember what I said in the previous lesson, I talked about the purpose and the reasons why we study tenets, isn't it? Right? There are many reasons, many why we study tenets, but one of the key most important reason for studying tenets is to be able to understand the subtle meaning of dependent arising. And why is it so important to understand the subtle meaning of dependent arising? So then, as Lama Tsongkhapa mentioned in his three principal aspects of the path, in which he said, which I'm trying to find the quotation now. So, Jerome Chelam Tsongkhapa said in his three principal aspects of the path, without the wisdom realizing ultimate reality, even though you have generated renunciation, the determination to be free, and the mind of enlightenment bodhicitta, you cannot cut the root cause of samsara, therefore attempt the method to realize dependent arising. So one of the key or the main reasons why we are studying tenets is to arrive at an understanding of the subtle meaning of dependent arising. So it, as Nama Tsongkhapa said, it is very important, isn't it, without which we cannot cut the root of our suffering in samsara. You know? And in the study of tenets, you know, we're going to look at the assertions put forth by the four Buddhist tenets, yeah, the four schools, yeah. And all of them have their own way of presenting selflessness, you know. They have their own way of explaining what exactly is selflessness. So as you progress, you know, up, you know, the hierarchy of these Buddhist tenets, you'll see that the explanations of selflessness become increasingly more subtle, yeah. And it is only by seeing how the presentation of selflessness, by seeing how the presentation becomes more subtle as we go along, only then are you able to then appreciate, you know, the subtlety of the presentation of the higher schools, because you have something to compare against, yeah, isn't it?
What in that?
The word for tenet in Tibetan is drup tar. It's made of two syllables, drup and tar. Yeah. So, and in English, a literal translation of drup tar will be an established conclusion. Yeah. Okay. So drup will be established in this context. Established. In this context, what does established, what does it mean? You know? So, it is a thesis that is decided upon and established in reliance upon scripture and or reasoning. Yeah? So, we're trying to explain what is the meaning of established here. Right? You follow, yeah? Okay? Established conclusion is the literal translation of the word drupta. Drup here means establishing a thesis, you know, or a thesis which is decided, you know, upon and established in reliance upon scripture and all reasoning. And from the perspective of your own mind. Basically something that you have decided, you know, you have come to a decision upon something, and that decision is arrived at by depending on scripture and or reasoning. And for you, in the perspective of your mind, that decision is correct. But it doesn't mean that in reality that is correct. But in the perspective of your own mind, it is correct. Hello?
Very easy. What you think is right, is right. Oh.
So that is Drupya established. And Tar in Tibetan means a limit, you know. You have reached the end. And in this case, you can translate it as a conclusion. That means for you, you think that that's it. That is the very thing. It is like that. You have concluded that it is like that. It is a kind of like a thesis in your mind of, yeah, 是这样的. So now we roughly know what tenet means, yeah. Tenet or established conclusion, yeah. So there are two types of persons, yeah. There are those whose minds have been affected by tenets, people who hold on to a tenet, and there are those whose minds have not or are not affected by tenets, or those who do not subscribe or do not hold on to a tenet. Okay? Right?
What to say? That tanda ni, that to tell a mashuka said, that tanda in the repena. That she's in the look candy, tell her that Jeba got tona made in the Jeba machine. Tavana she, and it's you that chicken chima yodam, Ravata, chicken. 지만 여담에 진짜 제바 미치 가야 미치고 치세 다 가서 왔다 세지 버시기 아니지다 대화 좀 좁지 돈도 니시 조딩의 증거로 와서 마시다 아마 당시 세지 지고 두스 좀 땅 조딩이지 이 버시라 남주 다리 버시라 배주 다시 미치네시 아 텔라다 다 죽다라 마시고 왔어 이제 다 뒤에서
So who are those whose minds are not affected by tenets, who do not hold on to any tenets. They refer to those people who are not interested in what really is the reality, and they're not interested in it, neither do they bother to find out or investigate. And when it comes to things such as past and future lives or reincarnation, they're not interested. They don't analyze. They don't check and see whether, you know, there are past and future lives. You know, but rather they just focus, you know, on the things of this life. You know, what they can see and hear. You know, that kind of stuff. You know, just on this life alone, and basically don't use much of their brains. Basically, they don't, you know, don't really think too much. You know. Those are the people who whose minds have not been affected by tenets, yeah.
What in the scene? That cinema, that to Dala Shuba, Senator, to the Lodua, said it, Tabana Shire, that on Dani, Casuna, that to Dala Shuba, Senator, that to the Lodua, said it, tatsedi digi tsammayi bachi tatsanda shi 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 neru kandeyi men telata jabarchi men jabalama shukde men dindeyi shukse ta rangi rangi longona ta jabarchi se ta ta shungu kanyarongona tenche ta di tabaresu di mitabaresu dindeyi namshi keli me tenne ta langdoru namshi chela jungi jorwa
And then those individuals who are not just focused on the affairs or the happiness in this life, but take an interest and an effort into finding out about, you know, how things really work and how what was the nature of the reality, you know, the basis as we have, you know, as we have talked about last in the last lesson, yeah. What are the different facets of reality? What exactly is reality, you know? So these individuals think about it, you know, and then they come to their own conclusions about what reality is. And based on their own conclusions, then they live their life according to certain principles, you know, abandoning certain activities or ways of thinking and cultivating certain ways of thinking or certain ways of doing stuff here. Yeah. So such people are people whose minds have been affected by tenets. So when we talk about tenets, there are also two, broadly speaking, there are two types of tenets. Non-Buddhist tenets and Buddhist tenets. And within the Buddhist tenets, there are these, there are the four schools, isn't it? Right. But in the first place, we have to understand the difference between an outsider and an insider. This is literally what it is in Tibetan. I mean, of course, we say non-Buddhist and Buddhist, yeah. Okay, but literally in Tibetan is the outsiders and the insiders, no? So we are the insiders, yeah. So a Buddhist is someone who accepts the three jewels as the final objects of refuge and has faith in the three jewels' ability to protect him or her from the sufferings of the lower realms and the sufferings of samsara, cyclic existence. Yeah. Okay? And such a person is called an insider or a
Buddhist.
So in short, you know, someone who doesn't have that single-pointed conviction, that faith in the three jewels, yeah, it's not a Buddhist, yeah.
Yapu
We would like to think that the Buddhism and being a Buddhist is the best thing you can do in life, right? The best, we are the best, right? But just thinking that being a Buddhist is the best alone is not very helpful. It's not sufficient. In order to really see that being a Buddhist is the best thing you can be, you first have to. You must have an object of comparison, yeah. And in this case, who are we comparing ourselves to? To the outsiders, isn't it? The non-Buddhists, yeah. So in order to see the special features of the Buddhist teachings, and in order to see why is it so special to be a Buddhist, you first must understand the views and the beliefs of the non-Buddhists, right? So on the basis of understanding the views and of the non-Buddhists, and then when you compare those views to the Buddhist teachings, yeah, the views that are taught in the Buddhist teachings, then when you see the big difference, yeah, and then when you see the special qualities of being a Buddhist, then you really, you know, start to appreciate, you know, how wonderful it is, you know, to be a Buddhist. So if we have an understanding of the non-Buddhist, the views of the non-Buddhist, I think you really make a big difference. Make a difference to our minds. So there in the text, there's the definition of a person who propounds a Buddhist tenet. Yeah. So, what exactly is a person who propounds Buddhist tenets, or a proponent of Buddhist tenets? What exactly is this person? Yeah. So, in order to understand this, let's look at three defining characteristics. Yeah. The founder or the teacher, the doctrine, and the view. So our own Buddhist schools have three distinguishing features. Yeah. So in terms of the founder or the teacher, Buddha is someone who has extinguished every single fault, you know, and has acquired every single good quality. So this is the first distinguishing feature, the teacher. Number two, the doctrine or the teachings. The teachings of Buddha are not harmful to any sentient being. And number three, the view, of course, you know, one can explain it in different ways, but here, in general, the view here is that there isn't a person or self that is permanent, unitary, and independent. Yeah. Okay. What people usually call the soul. Yeah. So it's the Buddhist view that the soul, and specifically this a permanent, unitary, and independent person does not exist whatsoever. Hello?
Are you confused? Not yet. That's the line it is. Yanko, then a number Sanji, to Dama, you can't say it. To Dainita, that took since I knew it. Then now, Kasana, Zo, then a Tawa Kata, Chaja, she's not on the line. D, Anichi, that killing it. So, number Sanji, say it. Number Sanji, to Dama, you can't say it.
Put it in another way, a person who propounds Buddhist tenet, you could say that a person who propounds Buddhist tenet is someone who asserts or who accepts the four seals. The four seals. So a person who propounds Buddhist tenets, you could say that is someone who accepts the four seals. Yeah. So what are the four seals? The four seals were spoken by the Buddha just before he passed away into Nirvana. Yeah. Basically, the Buddha said, all compounded phenomena are impermanent, compounded or composed, yeah, different translation, but it means the same thing. All compounded phenomena are impermanent, all contaminated things are suffering, are in the nature of suffering. All phenomena are selfless, and nirvana is peace. So those are the four seals, yeah. So all compounded phenomena are impermanent, all contaminated things are suffering or miserable. All phenomena are selfless, and nirvana is peace, yeah. So someone who accepts these four things is a proponent of Buddhist tenets. a person who propounds Buddhist tenets. And a person who does not accept these four things is not a proponent of Buddhist tenets.
Yeah.
So in short, to summarize, a Buddhist is someone who accepts the three jewels. A proponent of Buddhist tenets is someone who, on the basis of accepting the three jewels as objects of refuge, accepts the four seals. So the four seals is something that you must know, so you should memorize these four things, yeah. Right? So, all compounded phenomena are impermanent, all contaminated things are miserable, all phenomena are selfless, and nirvana is peace. So, Ujibo, the four seals. Don't get too stressed about, you know, missing out stuff. No? It's in the reference book, yeah. You know the reference book? You know that thing that you did? It's called cutting through appearances, yeah. It's in there, okay? I'm just looking at the book. You think I'm just rattling off? Okay. So those are the four seals, yeah. Let's look at the first one. All compounded phenomena. Do you something meet up? All composed phenomena are impermanent, yeah. Whether you translate it as composed or compounded, the meaning is the same. So as the word composed suggests, you know, so a composed phenomenon is a phenomenon whose existence comes into being in dependence on the coming together of various causes and conditions. Yeah. And because its existence is dependent on the coming together of causes and conditions, therefore it itself is subject to change. The phenomenon itself changes.
Yeah.
So there's a profound implication, you know, behind this statement, you know, all composed or compounded phenomena are impermanent. Yeah. So as mentioned earlier, a composed phenomenon refers to a phenomenon whose existence is dependent upon the coming together of various causes and conditions. If those causes and conditions do not come together, that phenomenon in question will not arise. Similarly, in order for that phenomenon to go out of existence, the causes and conditions for its destruction, for its going out of existence, must also come together, without which the phenomenon will continue to exist.
So
So when we say that all compounded phenomena are impermanent, you know, this means that all compounded phenomena undergo momentary change. That means in each and every single moment of time, they are, you know, they are undergoing change. So the next one, all contaminated things are miserable, you know. So when you, we know you can divide phenomena into contaminated and uncontaminated phenomena, yeah. Okay. Okay, so you can look at a phenomenon in terms of contaminated and uncontaminated. Yeah. So contaminated phenomena, what does contaminated phenomena refers to? The word contaminated here refers to the afflictions. And contaminated phenomena is a phenomenon, contaminated phenomenon is a phenomenon that is under the influence of the afflictions. Such a phenomenon, a contaminated phenomenon, is miserable, is daiji, suffering. Okay, so contaminated phenomena are those phenomena that are under the influence of the afflictions, yeah. And such phenomena are miserable, yeah. Then, what about the uncontaminated phenomena? They are not in the nature of suffering, right? Contaminated phenomena are in the nature of suffering, are miserable.
What is the same time?
Okay, right. So, when we talk about contaminated phenomena, as I mentioned earlier, contaminated here primarily refers to the afflictions here. So, contaminated phenomena are those phenomena that are under the influence of afflictions, right? And such phenomena are miserable, are suffering. Yeah. Okay. Then the question is, can such phenomena which are suffering, can they be eliminated or not? That's the whole question, yeah. Isn't it? The one important question. That leads us to the third seal. All phenomena are empty and selfless.
Okay,
So all the problems, all the suffering you analyze, you know, arises primarily under the arises from anger and attachment. But where does anger and attachment arise from? If you analyze, ultimately, it arises from an apprehension of a self. You follow the line of reasoning? Right? So, all contaminated phenomena are miserable, isn't it? Yeah. So, as long as the phenomenon in question is under, it has come about through the influence of the afflictions, then it's miserable. So, can such a phenomenon be gotten rid of? So this is what we are trying to analyze here, right? So if you analyze all the problems, such contaminated phenomena ultimately, you know, can be traced back to anger and attachment. But anger and attachment, they themselves arise from an apprehension of a self, yeah. So then the question is, can this apprehension of a self be eliminated or not, yeah? So then there are two things to look at. The self that is apprehended by such a mistaken mind, does such a self exist in reality or not? That's the first question. The second question, is there an antidote to this apprehension of a self? So, of course, through the process of thinking and analysis, you know, one should come to realize that an apprehension of a self is a mistaken way of looking at things, yeah. And using the terminology from the previous module, you know, you remember there's such a thing called the wrong consciousness, yeah. A knower that engages its object erroneously, yeah. So, one can come to understand that an apprehension of a self is a wrong consciousness because it engages in its object erroneously. Why? While in reality there isn't a self, the apprehension of a self believes that such a self exists.
Yeah.
Because this apprehension of a self is a mistaken conception, it's a wrong consciousness. In reality, it's a wrong consciousness. Therefore, in reality, there must be another mind whose mode of apprehension is the complete opposite of that apprehension of a self.
Hello?
I think they're not here. Hello? So far, okay, no? So far. Okay, so an apprehension of a self is a mistaken conception, right? It's a wrong consciousness. While in reality there isn't a self, this apprehension of self apprehends a self to exist. So because it is a wrong consciousness, yeah, therefore there will be another mind whose mode of apprehension, in technical language, or whose mode of apprehension is the complete opposite. Such a mind actually refers to the wisdom realizing selflessness. Yeah, and the wisdom realizing selflessness is a valid mind because just as in reality there isn't a self, this wisdom realizing selflessness realizes it to be so. And therefore, it is valid. And if you remember, you know, what's the definition of a valid cognizer? A newly incontrovertible knower. Those who get 100 marks or 90 and above should must be able to answer the question.
我都是那你大概有七道是写的落西大同的这怎么那些大同的洛阳他们是洛屯的约定那些的话我落西的这里落北但洛阳他们是约定那些大同的是吧。So
I mean, you know, as the definition goes, a newly incontrovertible knower, a valid cognizer, yeah. A valid cognizer is the opposite of a wrong consciousness, isn't it? Yeah. A wrong consciousness apprehends something which doesn't exist to exist. A valid cognizer apprehends whatever phenomenon in question in the way it exists, yeah, isn't it? Yeah. So it is the opposite. A valid cognizer is the opposite of a wrong consciousness, yeah. So a valid cognizer is a correct mind, a factually concordant mind, isn't it?
我听得清楚了，同大人，安尼是，他听得清楚了，但那他当面干什么？他当着这边落石头，安尼哭了，落青椒落菜，跌了，安尼就当军政样的明白了，对吧？哥，再来决定的千万没得事，当面都被落，什么决定的千万没办法，你知道？
后来他读书的什么铺垫不是没办法，这解决了他读书不是没办法，你知道？哥，你把他们他妈吃下去，吃掉了。他当面都被落石头，什么的，一样他把的，车上，后来他决定的什么也掉下去。这次都搞了，他养大我都被什么的给落青椒落了，那怎么办？大多大。So we have these two different minds, yeah. On one hand, you have the apprehension of a self. On the other hand, you have the wisdom realizing selflessness. The apprehension of a self is an erroneous mind. It apprehends its object erroneously, completely screwed up, and this is wrong. If you look at these wrong consciousnesses, such as the apprehension of a self, they don't have a support of a valid cognizer. They don't have truth on their side. And therefore, they are not stable. They are never ever stable. Will never ever stable. You know, these are wrong consciousnesses. Yeah. Okay. On the other hand, you have the wisdom realizing selflessness. It is a factually concordant mind. You know, whatever the way it apprehends the self is exactly in the way in which the self exists in reality. Therefore, it is factually concordant. It accords with reality, and it can be backed up by facts, and therefore it is the truth. So on one hand you have a wrong consciousness, a completely perverted way of looking at things. On the other hand, you have a mind that sees truth as it is. So this valid cognizer, because it is valid and it has valid support, it's the truth on its side, it can harm and destroy that wrong consciousness. Yeah.
That is the one that is shown in the the doctors in the loading were changed up the sesh. But the image in the person, Da said Yamaris, Da Yabanjang, and Da Yabarzim, the loading were changed up the sesh. But you need to hear it.
So the apprehension of a self is a wrong consciousness. It's an erroneous knower that engages in his object erroneously. Why? Because although there isn't a self, the apprehension of a self apprehends a self. That's why it is wrong. Okay, that is the apprehension of self. Yeah. Then you have the wisdom realizing selflessness. The wisdom realizing selflessness is a valid mind. It's just as there isn't a self, the wisdom realizing selflessness realizes that, yeah, isn't it? So it is a valid mind, it's factually concordant, and if you look at how the wisdom realizing selflessness, how it looks at its object, how does it apprehend its object? The way, the manner in which it apprehends the object is the complete opposite to the apprehension of a self, isn't it? Diobo? And because it is so, this wisdom realizing selflessness can harm the apprehension of self. So the more we get accustomed to the understanding of selflessness, then our ego grasping self, apprehension of the self will become weaker over time. So this is something that we have to see for ourselves, you know. We have to establish, you know, whether a cultivation of the selflessness of cultivating this wisdom realizing selflessness, whether this cultivation will lead to gradual weakening of the apprehension of a self. Yeah. So, and this is another question. Let's say, assuming that you know you see the point, assuming that you understand, that you know that by familiarizing yourself with the wisdom realizing selflessness, you know that the apprehension of self will weaken. If the ego grasping apprehension of self can be weakened, then logically one can establish that with more familiarization, by increasing the power of the wisdom realizing selflessness, one will be able to eradicate completely this apprehension of the self. Well, this is the reason why all phenomena are empty and selfless. This is the reason why this is discussed immediately after saying that all contaminated things are miserable. Because there's a solution. If there's no solution, then it is kind of pointless, you know, and it's actually morbid, you know, to talk about, to just, you know, focus on how, you know, contaminated things are miserable, isn't it? Yeah? If there's no solution, it's very morbid, and it's pointless, isn't it? But precisely because there's a solution, therefore, the second seal is there, that all contaminated things are miserable because there's a solution. And the solution lies in the third seal, that all phenomena are selfless and empty and selfless. As I mentioned earlier, if you analyze, if you think about it, all our problems and unhappiness, all of them originate from either anger and or attachment. It's clear, yeah. But why does anger and attachment arise in us? You know, there must be something that causes them to arise, yeah. And if you analyze, you think about it, anger and attachment always arises from within a very strong sense of a self. Yeah, I, me, isn't it? Okay? So, while we have this apprehension of a self, we call ego grasping, yeah? Apprehension of a self. But if you think about it, you know, one can come to understand that the self that is apprehended by this ego does not exist whatsoever. So, if we are able to develop this wisdom that sees that such a self that's apprehended by ego does not exist whatsoever, then one will be able to oppose this ego grasping. And in doing so, to reducing this ego grasping and eliminating it, one will overcome all the problems and suffering. It's very clear, very evident, you know, if you look at, you know, our own experience here. All the problems and unhappiness, you know, all arise from mistaken ways of relating to reality, you know, mistaken ways of looking at things and events, yeah. And of all the numberless, you know, wrong conceptions or mistaken ways that we have about the world and ourselves, you know, the very chief, you know, the main one, you know, the ultimate one, and the ultimate wrong conception, you know, is this very strong belief, you know, in a self, you know. In technical language, you say an apprehension of a self, yeah. So, through thinking and analysis, then one will gradually come to see that, you know, this the apprehension of a self, you know, is the root, you know, or the source of all the other misconceptions, yeah, all which leads us into suffering and problems. So then the question then is, can this ego grasping and apprehension of self be eradicated or not? Yeah. So if it can be eradicated, since it is the root of all the problems, if the root of all the problems and suffering can be eliminated, then suffering will not arise, isn't it? And in place of suffering, you have peace. You have nirvana, which is peace, peaceful. Yeah. So because all phenomena are empty and selfless, therefore, nirvana is peace. Yeah? So, Because when we destroy the root of all our problems, this ego grasping apprehension of self, there and then is liberation. Nirvana means liberation, freedom, isn't it? From all the problems, all the suffering, there and then. So Nirvana is not established outside. Nirvana is established right on the basis of our minds, yeah? So come the time when we eradicate the root of all the problems, ego grasping from the mind, then Nirvana is achieved. Yeah? And when, and in the absence of ego grasping, which means in no more problems and suffering, then obviously there's going to be peace, isn't it? So when we say all phenomena are selfless, empty and selfless. So what is the self that it does not exist? Selfless means the absence of a particular self, isn't it? Yeah. So the self here in this context is something that is accepted by all the Buddhist tenets. You know? The self here refers to a permanent, unitary and independent self. Yeah. So all Buddhist tenets accept that such a self that is permanent, unitary and independent does not exist whatsoever.
Yeah.
So, if you look at most non-Buddhist philosophical systems, yeah, non-Buddhist tenets, yeah, a majority of them assert that there is a permanent, unitary, and independent self. I mean, in the outside world, they say soul, yeah, soul, but. But if you expand it, this is what they talk about, you know, a self that is permanent, unitary, and independent. Okay, so vast majority of non-Buddhist tenets assert such a soul or such a self. All Buddhist tenets, you know, are united in saying that such a soul or self is rubbish; it does not exist. So many of the non-Buddhist tenets assert, you know, this soul, isn't it? A soul, a self that is permanent, unitary, and independent. It's not that they are making these claims without having thought, without thinking about things. You know, I mean, they have their own way of looking at things. You know, it's not as if they just believe in it without a reason. They do have their own reasons. Yeah. So within the many non-Buddhist tenets, you know, there are some who also assert reincarnation. Yeah, there are non-Buddhist tenets who do assert reincarnation. Yeah, so for these proponents of non-Buddhist tenets who assert reincarnation, for them, I mean, in their minds, they're trying to figure out who or what is the thing that goes from life to life. Obviously, there must be something that goes from life to life, isn't it? If you assert reincarnation, isn't it? Then, so obviously, there must be a person, you know, a self, you know, that thing that moves from life to life, right? Tiwo.
Or today, sometime, lah. That today, today, that, chin, that, jaw, chumal, dungen, di, that, kaswa, sa. Tanda, ten, se, lu, di, korang, ten, ma, shana, mi, ten, si. No. Kalsina, lu, di, ten, ma, shana, shaka, bu, sa, si. Kalsina, lu, di, an, chumal, an, buku, ya, ma, le. Lu, di, jaw, jen, wa, lu, di, shana, do, go, ya, si. No. That, lu, di, ten, ma, shana, mi, ten, si. No. That, di, si, do, gana, that, Yudila, Toba maybe, and in Daji Shako. That's that. That beauty, turn his look at them to Shaman. Lula Toba Daji, that Shako.
Okay, so there are these non Buddhist proponents of non Buddhist tenets here, who assert reincarnation, right? So obviously, for them, they must be able to explain. What is it that moves from life to life? Yeah. So, of course, I mean, they are not going to say that it is the body. Yeah. It's quite clear. I mean, the body is left behind, isn't it? Yeah? So, they are not going to say that, oh, no, this body is the self, you know. So, therefore, they come up with this idea, you know, that, you know, that this thing that moves from life to life, this self or this soul, must be something that is independent. Independent of the body, completely, you know, non-dependent on the body. Diabo, we also believe, right?
We also believe.
Diabo.
That one, that humble, tension, that said, and shakutus. That humble, tension, but shakutus. That one. But today, that, consult that, today, to be a person.
Yeah, so these proponents, these non Buddhist tenet holders, you know, who assert reincarnation, they say that, you know, that this self or the soul that moves from life to life, you know, is something that is completely separated, different, you know, unrelated whatsoever to the body.
But today, any case, na that today with that, that one, today with that, is that today with that, any case, na zawa ni jua mi zhong xi, na katu ina ta ko jua mi zhong ta ta bei lang xin xin ni zhong xi, na ba ta zhe le jua zhong le mi zhong xi, na ba.
So they assert that this self or the soul that moves from life to life, while it is independent from the body, you know, completely unrelated to the body, it itself is also unchanging, never changing, always remain the same. It's the same thing that moves from life to life, and for them, therefore, they look at the self as permanent. You see? Permanent means unchanging. Okay. Similarly, they assert that this particular self is unitary. Unitary means single, means it's not constituted by parts, it is partless.
What in this man? Anything in Rawanes. Oh, that Tedo Daddy and Gudan Kala de Matuba. That Rawanes, that got the Ranches to my slower color.
And so this self is permanent, unchanging, is unitary, it's not constituted by parts, so it is partless, and it is independent of whose existence is independent of all causes and conditions. It has always been there, like that. Okay, follow, yeah? So, we've been looking at what many of the non-Buddhist, many of the non-Buddhist tenet holders, yeah, assertion of a permanent, unitary, and independent self, yeah. They believe that there's such a soul, such a self exists, permanent, unitary, and independent. Why do they assert that the self is like that? Why do they assert that the self is completely unrelated to the body? Because they do not know how to posit a self that is of the same entity with the body. They do not know how to. Therefore, they have to come up, you know. Therefore, they came up with the explanations that the self is permanent, is unitary, and is independent. Because they do not know how to posit the self as having the same entity with the body. So that's the many of the non, that's the views of many of the non Buddhist tenets. Yeah. But according to Buddhism, such a kind of self does not exist whatsoever. Okay.
What does she need? That on the number two, than the castle, that number Sandy to Domay, Kansa, said he, that she was not sure. Taoka, when you're some Janay and the killing with Tindu, that Taoka, that is as she killed us. Or what in days, that number Sandy to Domay, Kansa, said, Lata, Chatamo, than Dodeva, and his son, Obama, Sinta.
So as I said earlier, what is who is a person who propounds Buddhist tenet? It's obviously a Buddhist, someone who accepts the three jewels as objects of refuge. But it's not sufficient, isn't it? On top of that, must be someone who accepts the four seals as well. So such a person is a proponent of Buddhist tenets. And there are four types of proponents of Buddhist tenets. So they are the proponents of the Great Exposition, proponents of the Sutra, proponents of Mind Only, and proponents of the Middle Way. So there are certain things that you have no choice but to memorize them. Yeah, otherwise there's no way to really study or move on. Yeah. So I mean, you must memorize what are these four. What are these four schools? Yeah, Kyo.
What does she need? That on that, any chicken, that on that, to the mouse, she there, Benata, children, in that, the men of Benna, Jumden Diki, and Tomomomoto San Jenny, and a chuchu, Quindola, Toma, that,
So why are there these four divisions of proponents of Buddhist tenets? Yeah? So there are four, isn't it? Proponents of the Great Exposition, proponent of Sutra, proponent of Mind Only, and proponent of the Middle Way. Yeah? So it's related to the three turnings of the wheel of Dharma. Yeah? The Buddha, from one point of view, turned the wheel of Dharma three times. Yeah? So in the first turning of the wheel of Dharma, the Buddha taught that all things are truly established, truly existent. Okay? You know, when we talk about the proponents of Buddhist tenets, you can also divide them into proponents of Hinayana tenets and proponents of Mahayana tenets. So in the first turning of the wheel of Dharma, the Buddha taught that, you know, in that turning of the wheel of Dharma, Buddha said, oh, all things are truly established, truly existent. So that teachings what you will find now in the Great Exposition School and the Sutra School. Okay? So the proponents of the Great Exposition and the proponents of Sutra, these two are proponents of Hinayana tenets. So the main disciples or trainees, main disciples or trainees, or the intended trainees for the first turning of the wheel of Dharma, are those who are propounding Hinayana tenets, and specifically those of the Great Exposition and Sutra School. Yeah. So the Buddha taught in such a way to fit their dispositions.
Yeah.
Then in the second turning of the wheel of Dharma, then the Buddha taught that all phenomena are not truly established.
Okay?
The intended recipients or the targeted audience of this second turning of the wheel of Dharma are those of the Middle Way School. Middle Way School. Okay? Proponents of the Middle Way are proponents of Mahayana tenets. I'm a bit rusty, okay. But anyway, in the third turning of the wheel of Dharma, the Buddha then differentiated between what is truly established and what is not truly established. So in the third turning of the wheel of Dharma, the Buddha said that the thoroughly established natures and the other power natures are truly established, whereas the imputational natures are not truly established. Welcome, I told you it's rocket science, right? So the main disciples or the intended targeted the main intended targeted audience for of this turning the wheel of Dharma are those who propound the mind only.
Mind only.
So you look at it, you know. So most likely, that the followers of these four tenets already existed during these three turnings of the wheel of Dharma. So in the explanation of the Great Exposition and the Sutra School, There's an explanation of their way of asserting objects and their way of asserting object possessors or minds. This we have really looked at and quite a fair bit in the previous module, isn't it? And we talk quite a bit on about objects, right? Divisions of objects and consciousnesses and stuff, right? Tio? So therefore, in this module, I will not go into detail the way of asserting objects and the way of asserting object possessors, because we've kind of dealt with it in the previous module roughly, right? Unless if there's some pertinent points, I will bring them up. Otherwise, the emphasis will be looking at how these various different tenets, what are their views on selflessness. And how do they explain the different paths and grounds You try to read the text, so we'll be basing our teachings and our classes on the root text. Yeah, so you should read the text, and as we go along, if there are things along the way, if there are things that you're not sure of, you're not clear, or you don't understand it, you should bring it up in class. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Question. I know.
So I did mention in the previous class that that this is not a walk in the park. Yeah. So it is rocket science. It is challenging. Put aside the meaning. Yeah. No, you first have to even grapple with the words, yeah, because you're seeing many new terms, you know, new terminology for the first time, yeah. So, but you shouldn't lose a heart. Yeah. You just get at it, you know. You know, it becomes easier as we go along. So don't lose heart, you know. As I said, you know, it takes time, you know. So for the next 1, 2, 3 months, you know, you just have to work at it. You, from your side, you have to work at it. You have to put in the effort. Read the text, and then don't miss class, and then participate in the discussion. And then you will do so, then after by the end of this module, you'll definitely get something, you know. And this forms, you know, whatever understanding you get forms the basis for you to be able to better appreciate the teachings of some of the great lamas, such as His Holiness the Dalai Lama. You know, if you have some grounding, you have studied some of these things, you know, when you go to attend His Holiness's teachings, you know, you better appreciate it. You get more, that kind of you know, this sounds familiar, that kind of stuff, you know, right? So this is just one of the many reasons are why we are learning here, yeah, isn't it? Many, this is one of the many reasons. We believe in the future, yeah. We believe in the future. We believe in future existences, future lives, you know. So by studying and by learning now, we plant imprints in our minds, and with these imprints, you know, then we get better from life to life, you know. With each life we get better, then you know, sooner or later we will bring our understanding, our knowledge to culmination, and then on the basis then we will be able to generate the experiences and realizations of the path, and then along the way we will be able to eliminate many of our obscurations and our negativities, yeah. So it's a very long term thing, yeah. So by reminding yourselves how fortunate you are and how you are accumulating virtue, you know, merit along the way, you know. And then by reminding yourself of these things, yeah, then, you know, you should generate enthusiasm and joy, you know, in having the opportunity to do something like this, yeah. So therefore, you know, we must come to class with enthusiasm, you know, with a sense of joy, you know.
Okay. Okay, we stop here. Yeah.
Okay, please test here. Okay, so finish off the prayers with the usual prayers, yeah. And so